Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
On now, Her Radio, with founder and CEO of EmpowHer.com, Michelle King Robeson, and New York Times bestselling author and leading women's healthcare expert, Dr. Pam Peek, on Radio MD.
Well, Michelle, I am so excited by this segment. Remember, you and
I both.
Oh,
me too.
Okay. We're going to talk about why science needs female mice. Woohoo. There was a New York Times piece that came out that literally was titled that, and my eyes went doing, and then you and I both had a great discussion. So our guest today is one of the lead people in the center of this really hot topic, and that is Dr. Annalise Beery. Now, Annalise, I don't know if you know this, honey, but you and I are both UC Berkeley alum. I have 3 degrees from Berkeley, and I see you got your PhD in neuroscience from Berkeley as well.
And now don't leave me out. I lived in San Francisco, and I see you went to UCSF, too. So, okay, we're all friends. We're all family.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So let's talk about this, Annalise. This is just a fabulous. Why does science need female mice?
Well, I'd say the short answer to that is that lessons learned in one sex, females or males, may not extrapolate to the other. So there are differences between females and males at a lot of different levels. Everything from sort of gross physiological differences that are really obvious, you can see them with your own two eyes, down to differences between cells. And cells with two X chromosomes may act differently than cells with an X and a Y chromosome. And females are exposed to different levels of circulating hormones than males, but these changes and these differences are also present earlier in life, and some of them are of developmental origin. Some of them happen when you're exposed to hormones later. So there are a lot of sex differences, and if we ignore them, we can miss really important differences that can have biomedical importance.
Tell us about the study in Nature Neuroscience.
I started looking into this a little over 5 years ago, and that's the study that you're talking about, when Irv Zucker and I conducted an extensive literature search across 10 different subdisciplines of biomedical research. And the idea was to determine the extent of sex bias in animal research, because we really didn't know how bad it was. Everybody knew there was a male bias, but nobody knew how bad exactly it was. So back in 1993, the NIH issued requirements for inclusion of women in clinical trials, but no guidelines at the time existed for basic research. And we really wanted to know how bad things were. So that's what we did.
How bad were they?
They're bad. They're bad. Let me just tell you.
Tell us.
They're really bad.
Go ahead.
There were a few instances that were not so bad, but in all but those sort of few select instances, like reproductive biology tends to study females more than males, but in pretty much all other disciplines, studies using only males really outnumbered the studies using females, or even using both males and females. And this was actually, it was worst in my discipline of neuroscience. There were 5.5 all-male studies to each study that studied females.
I always say, Annalise, and you can tell me if I'm right or not, but when I talk, I always tell the audience that I think 37% of the clinical trials are done on women today. That's it. That's not enough.
Kind of across the board.
I don't know exactly what the current stat. I've heard that women make up about half of subjects in clinical trials. That may not be...
No.
That may not be evenly distributed across the trials, though.
Yeah, exactly. So what does that mean to women? Because I know I've had this experience, and this is a big topic for me as well as it is for you. But what does this mean for women? Should they not trust the findings of medications that were tested on mice because they're not being tested on female mice?
Well, I mean, fortunately, we don't stop with studies of mice, and we do have human clinical trials, but what it means is a few things. Even in those clinical trials of humans, a lot of the time the results are not analyzed by sex. So even if you include women in your clinical trials, if you don't say, does this drug have a different effect in women than it does in men, then yes, that's absolutely cause for concern on those results. And then another implication is that you may miss really important clinical targets. So if there is a pathway that exists in females but not in males, or it's more pronounced or more important in females than males, and you don't study male mice or whatever your basic biomedical research model is, then you're not going to find or you're not going to know to test that thing when you move on to human clinical trials. So I think it has implications both at the sort of immediate practical level, but also for our future understanding and drug discovery and all of those sorts of things.
Well, I think it's really important to also realize that there are a lot of drugs kicking around out there that were actually mostly tested, if not all tested, on men. The cardiac drugs,
absolutely,
as you're well aware, were a huge problem. The antidepressants. Men and women have very different levels of serotonin. Oftentimes, women have 50% less serotonin than men do, and so how they react to an SSRI is very different than men. And yet all the prescribing data is exactly the same. And so, you know, I know we're doing a lot of catch-up right now, and I loved the study, Annalise, because it was, you know, finally we've got this. I'm just thinking of all the older drugs that are still kicking around that were basically tested on men.
Well, all of them.
Yeah, and I'll give you a couple of examples of that. So in 2005, the statistic I can tell you is that 8 out of 10 prescription drugs that were withdrawn from the market in the U.S. were removed because of differences in side effects and health issues in women specifically.
Yep.
So it's leading to real clinical implications. And then I'll give you an example from a study that just came out and made big news this year. They've been talking about a drug that may increase libido in women. It changes a cocktail of different neurochemicals. And the side effect testing was done almost exclusively on males, even though this drug is to be marketed to women. So
we saw that in the New York Times.
It's still a problem.
Wasn't that fascinating that they did it on men, like 23 men and 2 women or something? It was crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
And interestingly, you won't find sex-specific information on drug inserts or sort of any indication that sex might matter when you're giving drugs to women and men.
What about the FDA that, you know, they just came out and said they had to change the dosage for Ambien, right? Because women were reacting to it differently. Another example.
It's another great example, exactly, yeah.
It just keeps going like this. And I think that women are flustered a little bit, and or maybe a lot, as well they should be.
A lot.
Because now, you know, the trust has decreased. Now you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, you did, you know, male mice, but then you did a clinical trial, and that's great, but it was done on men primarily. So how are we, it's hard out there to parse through the data. I wish there was just one, you know, maybe a database repository, some command, you know, clearinghouse where we could really look at drugs and understand a lot about their background. Is there anything like that, Annalise?
Not that I'm aware of. Certainly there are databases where you can look up things like lists of side effects for drugs,
right,
and things like that, but not that include the testing history. That's
testing.
A really interesting idea.
And the gender specificity as well, and that's what's so terribly important. Now, I got a real quick one for you. Do you really think scientists are going to start using more female mice? Come on, you're a scientist, I'm a scientist. You know, we're both in the same.
I do. I think it's partly there's been a real increase in interest in this topic, but I think the most important change is that this fall the NIH finally came out with guidelines that said basically you have to include female mice in your research proposals if you want to get funded. And there are a few exceptions to that. If you have a trait that's only present in males or females, that's a really good reason to study only males or females. But if there's not a good reason like that, you have to include at the proposal stage for requests for funding, you have to include a consideration of sex when you're proposing research on any research subjects and, in fact, even on cell lines. So my hope is that that's actually going to make a change in the same way that the 1993
Excellent.
Clinical trial guidelines made a change. However,
Good.
It's still going to be
well,
really important.
You know, what we've been talking about is why science needs female mice. Dr. Annalise Beery, thank you for being on with us as a neuroscientist and author of a pivotal study. Ah, we love it here on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well. Ooh, 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 ooh.